Hi, this is Armin Shimerman. I played Quark on Deep Space Nine. You're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
I always think with TNG, it's like there's not that much going on.
Why the fuck is there an ensign on the senior staff?
You've done so much good stuff at this point. If that's something you want to put in there that you like, I was all right with it. I was like, yeah, it's a bit weird, but...
Program initiated. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery.
Hello, everybody. My name's Jude Hawkins, and starting again.
Yeah,
Wayne
two.
Lost his phone, but he didn't lose his phone. We're going to be talking about a lot of DS9 stuff. I've written some notes for the first time in a long time, I was just saying. So there's some structure to tonight, but no particular. We're not reviewing any episodes or, you know.
Yeah, well,
but Wayne doesn't know what I'm going to be throwing at him.
I haven't got a clue. That's the thing. When you text us and you're just like, "Oh, I've got," don't worry about thinking of too many things to discuss because I've got a few things to throw. And I was like, oh, "Okay, no, very interested as to what you've got planned." And to be honest, for us, that's pretty much as far as structure goes. Just have a couple of ideas to throw.
At
out
least
there.
This week, I can say all. Nearly everything I've got to talk to you about is tied to DS9 and Star Trek, instead of talking about Kevin Smith and Thundercats and He-Man
and
Turtles and whatever else is. Coronavirus, yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, well, I'll tell you what, mate. I'm glad that we are discussing Deep Space Nine a little bit, because I've been head first in it. I know that my rewatch is like a bit of a joke at this point because it's taken so bloody long. I started just after.
Oh, that's okay.
I started just after 2018, but I've in the last about 15 days, I've gone from like midway through season 5, and I'm now midway through season 7.
I knew you said that you were on season 7 to me in the last couple of days. That's a lot in a short time. It's a serious rewatch. I'm nothing like that. I just decided a couple of weeks ago I'm doing a proper rewatch from beginning to end, and I'm not going to skip anything or cherry pick anything. So I'm only on season 1. But part of my reason for doing that is I decided to do something I didn't actually do the first time round, listening to Trekmate in the Wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
If people haven't heard of them, they're our Australian buddies who did their real-time reviews, they would call it, watching the episode while commenting on it on the pod. And at first they started doing cherry-picking episodes straight away, but then at some point, about 20 or so episodes in, they finally caved into what people have been asking them for, which is just do it in order.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm listening with them because I never did that before. I just used, just like Trekmate and any other podcast I've been a fan of, I would just listen to it while I'm out walking. But I just thought, especially with all this stuff going on, all the lockdown, self-isolation stuff, I thought, you know what, I'll just do that. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to them while watching the things. I've watched the episodes multiple times, so I don't need to hear the sound. I know what's going on. You can put the subtitles on if you want to, but I don't need to. I'm just enjoying watching it with JD and Fez and their guests that they have on and off, and having a really good time with it. But I'm only about 14 episodes in, but it's because I'm having to listen to their waffling on like we do while I am actually on the walk with the dog in the day. And then as soon as I get to that point where they're starting the DVD, I'll save that till I get home at night. So I'm only kind of watching on average one, maybe two episodes a day with them. But that requires me to listen to the pod because I don't like skipping anything.
I tell you what, to be honest, mate, for you to get that far in already is like doing a decent job, because it was only like a couple of weeks ago that you said that you was starting a rewatch. So no, you're not mucking about by any.
For every episode that they recorded like that, I will watch it with them. You know, with their 2013 selves. But I'm gonna still carry on watching in order without them as well, which obviously once I get to that point it will go a lot quicker when I'm not having to listen to the rest of the pods in between.
Well, they only got up to looking at the podcast
season, beginning of season three. I've just been speaking to JD recently. I did some recordings with him, which I'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I think he said they got to the beginning of season three and that was it.
Yeah, second skin they got to. And I wonder if they would be up, if you, when you get up there, I wonder if they would be up for once a month or whatever, like getting together.
Got it on record. It is, you can put it out on a Patreon, you can put it out as a bonus thing on the main pod. I've already got the answer to those questions, so I can either tell you or I can leave it
as an
exclusive for
me.
When that's it. Well, tell you and the world.
Yeah, fuck it.
He ain't doing it. JD ain't doing it. No.
Oh.
He doesn't want to do it.
Oh, what a miserable bastard.
I know. But what can you do?
What can you do? Yeah, oh, it's tempting.
I even tried saying like, oh, well, what if you, me and Wayne did it? And he was like, no, it's got to be with Fez, but I'm not doing it with Fez. And I'm like, oh, all right then. So no. I can't push him into it.
No, we can't twist their arms.
But yeah, people will hear that. We'll put that out at some point. We've got to do something we don't normally do and do a little bit of editing on those JV recordings that I've done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Well, if you want it to go out into... Oh, no, as long as we... I can edit both of them.
I still need to do one with the two of you, but we've not been able to do it.
Yeah, no, as soon as we can, then I'm just waiting to hear back from JD as to when he's available.
I mean, he's available right now. I saw that he was on there, but I think you want to do this one right now.
I didn't know that he was
available. I just saw the little green light next to his name when we came on.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, no, we're partway through a podcast. We can't really...
it's all right. There's no rush. But yeah, I am really looking forward to that one. Basically, we're talking about it. So if I've not told people already, or did I tell people?
I think we have.
I've asked Wayne 20 questions. I've asked JD 20 questions, and I've recorded both of those sessions. And I'm going to get them together at the same time, and I'm going to ask the other guy, what did the other guy say? And then give them the true answer and a false answer, and they have to work it out. And it was, I had a really good time recording both of those sessions, and I think we'll have a really good time, the three of us together. And I hope for everyone listening, we'll have an even better time laughing at the three of us.
Yeah, no, and to be honest, I've got very high hopes for that episode. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, a lot.
Yeah, because it's one of them ones that when we was recording it, you can just feel that it's going to be a particularly fun episode.
Oh, yeah, that was fully the intention, yeah. It's not serious, it's not like Desert Island Discs or something, you know. It's, well, you know how ridiculous. It's my warped mind just trying to mix gross humor with Star Trek and trying to make both of those guys laugh, and you know,
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it definitely works.
Yeah,
it definitely works. That's for sure. No, I'm really looking forward to getting together and recording that. So, but yeah, no, and with my rewatch though, it's funny because when I was exchanging messages with Dom, because he's heavy into his Enterprise watch.
Yeah.
And he's desperate to come on and talk about Enterprise, but he's waiting until he's finished season 4 because he wants to talk about it as a whole. And
I kind of want to do the same. I will do it with him, but like I kind of wish I could do the same thing. I wish I had more time to do that, but I'll just have to remember it. But it's nice when it's fresh.
Oh, it is. It is. And the thing is, talking about it with him has made me want to do an Enterprise rewatch so badly.
Just hearing you guys say that makes me want to watch it. But
and I just, to be honest, I'm just thinking, Christ, I really need to prioritize other Trek, because before DS9, Enterprise was my most recent rewatch, and I haven't done a full TNG or Voyager rewatch in like ever. It's like been so long since I've done all of them as well.
And I definitely want to do all of them, especially even though I'm kind of wanting to do Enterprise just because you guys have been talking about it after DS9. Like, I'd really like to do a Voyager one because I've just never given that one a proper second chance or third chance, you know, or whatever episode you're talking about. But I want to rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide between TNG and Voyager. And the thing is, I know that TNG I've probably watched more times than I have Voyager, even though with Voyager up to a certain point, I watched a lot of times, but I am positive that I haven't seen all of season 7 of Voyager.
I'll tell you what I watched today randomly. I watched part 2 of Encounter at Farpoint. It's just because, like, after 2 years of living in this house, I finally attached the TV to the to the aerial or the satellite cable.
Yeah.
So I've just been putting normal TV. It's the first time I've watched normal TV in years, in about 3 years or something, because I just watch apps. Mm-hmm. But it's just on one of the CBS channels.
And I'll tell you, that's the thing. Nowadays,
it was just on and I just watched it.
Nowadays, Freeview, you got so many channels on there, you don't actually need half of the channels that like Virgin or Sky chuck down your throat. No, that's it. I have quite a fondness for Encounter at Farpoint.
I understand all the criticisms, but no, I felt a nice warm feeling while I was watching it today. Just like some of these intros to these characters are a little bit forced, but at the same time, you know, like Gene Roddenberry, you know, he's trying to do something with these characters. Like, you know, I've only got an hour, or I've only got an hour and a half. This is who this is, and like they do a good job of it. You know, Wesley.
Oh yeah.
Troy, Riker, Data. Like, it's all like, if that's all you saw, and then you didn't see a second or third episode for months, it's like, he did a good job of showing you this is who all your characters are.
And he fleshes them out enough that you get the gist of who they are as a person as well. And so you get the rough ideas of just what sort of personality they are. And finally, once again, this is another discussion that me and Dom had, where he was just saying like how good Encounter at Farpoint was at doing that, when you compare it to Discovery, where we still don't know fuck all about their bridge crew.
No, I mean, Discovery, it's just Burnham, isn't it? Only getting to know Burnham. And Saru, I can't even remember that much of Saru from the first episode.
Oh, not from the... in the first episode, you get fuck all.
Yeah.
You get fuck all. It's only Michael in the first episode that we get any sort of fleshed out background on. We don't even get, even though we both absolutely loved Michelle Yeoh in it.
Yeah, I did.
She doesn't get fleshed out enough to know.
Oh, but it, definitely not.
But yeah, no, it's yeah, Encounter at Farpoint does that really, really fucking well. And it just a random question that I thought of whilst I was setting up the computer for recording tonight. All of the shows, right? Obviously, I'm talking like Golden Age shows. So I'm like,
yeah,
whether it's
the classic five.
Yeah, the classic five. All of them, the like main staff, like the senior staff, all of them have an ensign on the senior staff. Why the fuck is there an ensign on the senior staff? Surely, like, whatever job Harry Kim or whoever else is doing, whether it's Nog or someone else, why is that not done by somebody who's ranked a lot higher?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Why? Surely it should be like a lieutenant or lieutenant commander rather than an ensign. You wouldn't have thought they would let ensigns near the fucking bridge.
I don't know. I mean, I always think with TNG, it's like there's not that much going on when they're there at that time. I don't know. Not really thought about it too much. Sorry for anyone who's listening and not watching. I'm just going into the kitchen to get myself a drink, son.
That's all right. You're doing a drink water.
I am, yeah, but I am actually just getting water.
Yeah, and you are fully clothed.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Just thank
God. I'm walking,
God,
I'm not crawling.
Yeah, thank God we never used to do webcam when he was recording with us.
Yeah.
That could have been really awkward.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, sorry, just a thought that came into my head. I'm sure a listener has probably got a better answer, something military related maybe. Also, something that I've been trying to do.
It's training, isn't it? It's training on the job.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. And very long training for Harry.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, it's a joke with that guy.
One thing I do want to just say, I've been trying to make a point of doing it every episode, and sometimes I forget, sometimes I don't. But I just want to thank listeners for getting in touch. It's always really nice to know that you're listening and have
definitely
just,
yeah,
decided to get in touch. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Darren Pickles, who regularly gives us feedback on the show. Hi, Darren.
Hello,
also,
mate.
Also want
I appreciate
to say,
the message you left on Facebook. I was even going to make a joke because I've been listening to In the Wilderness, and I forget all the old Rick Moyer jingles. So I was going to go, and now time for the Facebook report instead of forum report. Because you left a nice long message. They're always nicer to read from people than, you know, just a like button or whatever.
Exactly. And also want to thank Mike over on Twitter, and also the love of my life, Matt Warwick. Matt always gives us a message to give a bit of feedback on whatever's going on.
Excellent.
So, still love you, Matt.
Yeah, definitely.
So what was a couple of the things that you wanted to bring up then?
I think most of the things that I'm going to be bringing up with you are going to be to do with physical items.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I've had my birthday recently, May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Happy belated birthday.
I was
birthday.
Saying that, but yeah, cheers, man. Yours is coming up, isn't it, very soon?
Yeah, mine is Sunday. Mine's the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're 6 days apart.
Yeah, that's right. So what was I saying? One thing I'll say, which I think I said on the podcast a year ago, is I was very happy to get my birthday message once again from Max Gredenchik on a direct messenger Facebook thingy.
Oh, bless.
I've not got it written in front of me, but yeah, it was a nice long one. Even if he cuts and pastes that and changes the name, like, and a little bit, I don't mind. It's the thought that counts.
Oh, it really is. I was quite touched that he sent our daughter Amy a birthday message as well.
Oh, excellent.
Like just a little short happy birthday.
That's so lovely.
He is such a nice guy. I'm so desperate to like have a like sit down chat with him again.
Yeah, me too.
Oh dear.
Really? I'll come back to Max again in a bit, but just while I was going on about birthdays, I think I had the most Facebook messages, not messengers, posts, birthday wishes I've ever had. And that'll just be because of all the craziness that's going on, people being at home more. But it's nice, being stuck at home myself and going crazy myself. It's nice to actually, I mean, a lot of these names, a big chunk will be like, who's that? Who's that? I've no idea who that is.
Yeah,
but when you actually see the people, like all these people that have gone to our conventions or have had stalls at our conventions, and then the odd actor here and there, stormtroopers, real life stormtroopers, and Armin Shimerman's wife again, Kitty Spring. Well, she's a DS9 star as well. Just seeing that stuff makes you feel good, especially with the craziness of the world right now.
Absolutely.
One thing I'll talk about, seems we were talking about Max and what a thoroughly nice bloke he is and how cool he is. One thing I've bought recently, which isn't technically a physical thing, is I finally got round to buying What We Left Behind, digital version.
Excellent.
Because I got fed up of waiting for them to bring out a Blu-ray English or Region 2 Blu-ray. It's just not coming, it seems. So I was just like, fuck it. Like, I'm getting into buying digital things more and more these days. And I just thought, no one's going to take it from me. And it was $7.99 for a HD version. I was like, yeah, I'm having that. And I have only watched it once at home. The only other time I watched it was with you at the premiere with the with the cast. And it was just the same all over again. It was just brilliant. It's so well done. And I think it's nearly 2 hours long. And just like any good movie, it feels like it's about 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because you enjoy it so much. And every single bit of it just works. It's like a good film. Where it makes you want to cry, it makes you happy, it makes you upset, it ticks all the boxes. But yeah, should we, I don't know how much we've spoken about it before, but should we say, like, spoil it for people that haven't seen it and just skip ahead 5 minutes?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, yeah, skip ahead 5 minutes.
It's been a while.
I think most people should have watched it by now. I'm definitely intending, once I've finished my season 7 watch, is to rewatch What We Left Behind.
Yeah.
Because I think that'll be a nice way to finish off the
S9. Oh, perfect way to finish it off, yeah. I'll be doing the same again once I finally get to the end, which is going to be a couple of months, I would imagine, now for me. But yeah, so the documentary is introduced by Matt Skrdenchik on vocals, singing a song that he'd written, and it goes out the same way. But it's Max joined by Casey Biggs and Jeffrey Combs and
Armin
Shimerman. Yeah, and it's just it's fantastic. I know I said spoilers, but I don't want to spoil too much stuff for the few people that listen to this that haven't watched it. But just brilliant cast interviews. Some of them, they're being brutally honest, and it can be very funny. It can be sad. And there's a lot of bits where it's cast interviews and they're just clearly having a laugh. They're just taking the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
And Ira Stephen Bear and stuff like that. One thing I'm going to say, though, is I did enjoy it and I did take this in when we watched it on that big screen. But you know what showmasters are like with, their big screens and speakers and stuff.
Yeah.
The HD HD fucking goodness of it on my TV. It's just amazing. Where mm-hmm. I was just like, just in the space of 3 seconds, I just thought to myself, that looks amazing. And why the hell haven't they done that for Netflix and Blu-ray and all that stuff? Like,
yeah,
doing the rewatch of season one, watching that, and then watching What We Left Behind. It's like, that is criminal.
Yeah,
that they have not given it that update. It is so different, and it's just amazing. Even though they only did a little bit for that documentary, it's just fantastic. Just the close-ups on people's faces, you know, the starships, whether it's battles or not, mm-hmm. just whatever, anything you're seeing just looks awesome on there. And yeah,
I know, it is absolutely shocking, because it's at the moment, DS9, I think, has got enough of a following that it would warrant getting
HD. They'd make that money back eventually.
And but the thing is as well, it's a totally different market now, because when they done the HD redos of TNG and TOS, streaming services weren't what they are now. So most people...
I know, I understand that. So I know CBS would say that it's not worth our while, but it fucking is. You know, like, advertise it on Netflix. Say that this is the new HD remaster.
I'm sure, you know, Netflix even would be willing to put their hand in their pocket to help.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm sure fans would. If I know CBS wouldn't want to do that, but mm-hmm. But they could, and I would. You know, yeah. I wouldn't care, even though I know that they've got the money, they can do it. If they were saying to the fans, oh, can you help out? It just costs this much, you know, you can have these rewards
yeah.
or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that, because I really want to see it. Like, I remember years ago, 5-6 years ago, whenever it was, when they did the TNG Blu-rays, and I loved them. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved sticking them in my... Xbox One or whatever it was at the time, and just thinking, this is amazing, this is so different. And mm-hmm. And DS9 and Voyager, they deserve that.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, they absolutely do. Especially I think I read somewhere that Voyager is one of the most rewatched series on Netflix out of the Star Trek series, which surprises me.
I never know whether Netflix is being honest with me or not when I scan through the menu screen and it says, like, trending today, mm-hmm. Voyager, and I'm just like, is it trending today, or are you just telling me that because you know that I watched DS9 and
TNG? Oh, it's definitely
TNG
a part of it, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, Voyager is always at the top of my recommended list as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, always is. But they definitely deserve a HD remaster. And I'd say, after watching What We Left Behind as well, I could feel myself getting more and more emotional coming towards the end of season 6, knowing Terry Farrell is going.
And, yeah.
And like
knowing the truth behind that now.
Yeah, and watching the Tears of the Prophets. No, it isn't Tears of the Prophets, is it? It's,
remember.
No.
Ask me.
Oh, I can't remember. It might be Tears of the Prophets, the name of the episode. But the final episode, when, like, she's, like, acting it all out, I'm just looking, and I swear you can see in her eyes just the heartache of,
yeah.
This is it, and I don't want it to be. And just, oh, no, honestly, it was so...
The best, you know, speaking of that, another bit of that in the documentary or in the program itself is, oh, God, how's it escaped my mind? You know, Benny, when Sisko mm-hmm. turns into the Star Trek, into the sci-fi writer.
Paper Moon? No, that's the Nog episode.
Far Beyond the Stars? Is that what it's called?
Beyond the Stars, yeah.
It's very visible when actors like Avery and Terry, you know, tap into something real. to actually to use that for their character. It really shows.
Absolutely. And that's why I even had it in an episode that I watched tonight, because the episode was, I can't remember the name of the episode, the one where they have to save Vic Fontaine's casino from like the gangsters, and Cassidy is telling Cisco about it, and he's just like, oh, I can't believe what you guys are doing. And then he then goes on like quite strong and well performed and passionate monologue about how he didn't think that Cassidy and Jake should be like happy to take part in a 1960s Vegas hologram program, because back then like black people were still being repressed and still having to fight for their freedom and equal rights, and it was like very enthused, and you can see the passion in his performance whenever it comes to things like that. And I tell you what though, I really don't like that episode.
the one you just told me about.
Yeah, really, it's just.
Do you know what? I don't actually remember it that well. When you just described that, I was like, oh, I can't really remember that one that well.
It's a stereotypical holodeck episode. At this point, Vic Fontaine has been left
somehow.
On...
What's going on is going to be real. Like, if they don't help him, like he.
Yeah.
It's going to be something along those lines.
Yeah, in the sense of, because at this point, his program has been on 26 hours a day for like a number
like Red
of
War with Brighton, where they've got to go in and help him. That.
Yeah, exactly. And like, but some gangster has taken over his casino, and they can't just change the program for one reason or another. So yeah. They all have to like help him get his casino back.
Sounds like Ira Stephen Bear was up late watching BBC America or whatever it is, watching Red Dwarf. Oh, could use that. Not many people know this program over here.
Yeah,
I can get away with that.
And it's just one of them. Funnily enough, I was having a conversation with Dom, and he was. Like just saying, I fucking hate Vic Fontaine.
A lot of people seem to, yeah.
And my general thing of with this rewatch, I really don't mind him. I quite like Vic Fontaine.
Yeah, I've never been bothered. I don't love him, but I definitely don't hate him. I see him as like something that Ira, Stephen Bear, and the other writers liked and they enjoyed and they wanted to put it in there, and I thought, you've done so much good stuff at this point. If that's something you want to put in there that you like, that it helps move characters on, like definitely helped the character of Nog grow near the end there, which was cool.
Yeah,
I was all right with it. I was like, yeah, it's a bit weird, but it's fine. With everything they've given you to that point, who am I to criticize and go, oh, God, what the hell is this all about? This is bollocks, you know.
Yeah, no, I think in the past with Vic, I've not really had a passionate view either way. Mm. I've definitely enjoyed him a lot more on this rewatch. But this particular episode, I was like, yeah, fuck Vic Fontaine. but Vic wasn't the actual problem. It was just the episode in general. I was just fucking stupid.
Tell you what, I did really enjoy seeing his name, James Darren. Is that his real name?
Yeah, I think so.
I really enjoyed watching him at one of the Destination Star Treks over the years. I can't remember which one it was, but playing at the after party in the pub club thing, like, I really got a kick out of that. Any other time, you know, watching some, you know, American in his 60s crooning Frank Sinatra songs, I'd be like, nah, you're all right. But because it was him, it was like, yeah, this is really cool.
Exactly. It's Vic Fontaine.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. No. Oh no. And I tell you who else on this rewatch that I think in the past, I've not had a passionate view either way.
Are you going to say Cassidy?
No. But somebody who, this time around, I've loved an entire lot more than I previously did. I've always liked her. I've just not been passionate about it. For Ezri.
Yeah, no, I was all right. I had heard like bad things about her before I even saw her the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew Jadzia was going to be going at that mm-hmm. point. But yeah, I was totally fine with it the first time round. Because I think it's because I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And like I went into it with an open mind, thinking I've got no reason to dislike this character. You know, I don't know what's happened behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked that they did it. Yeah, it's sad that Jadzia and Terry Fowl didn't manage to go all the way, but it carried on that Trill storyline. But that's what Trill do. That's mm-hmm. what happens. Even though Jadzia's death was really crap mm-hmm. and rushed. There's so much more you could have done with that. But Ezri Dax, yeah, I thought it was cool. It was just showing you, you know, this is another, a very different host.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that mix of personalities, you know, and her struggle of like, I'm not Jadzia. I am Dax, but I'm not Jadzia, you know, so stop treating me that way. I liked all of that.
Yeah, and also I definitely empathize with her as a character and the actress as well a lot more.
After, yeah, it's almost like the actress is in the same position as the character.
Yeah.
Oh, joining absolutely. This club that's been going for 6 years and you're just in it for the last 12 months.
But once again, I wonder how much of that is stemming from just in the back of my head watching What We Left Behind and hearing those mm-hmm. interviews and those thoughts, and I'm just like, yeah, fuck it, I really love Ezri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just really am enjoying her a lot more, even though season 7 there are a lot of Ezri centric episodes as well. The only thing I think, going back to Vic, is
I think they'd be mad not to use her as much as they did. You know, what's the point mm-hmm. in bringing her in and then not using that character to
yeah.
as much as they could?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the only thing, my only criticism of Vic Fontaine, though, sorry to jump about a bit.
No, I love it. I love doing it.
I think my only criticism of Vic is. There's a couple of points where it took away opportunities that could have been given to other secondary characters, like to step up and step into those roles of like supportive characters. But other than that,
I kind of understand what you mean there. Yeah, especially after 7 years of you know. Of just wanting more things for those characters, like Garrick, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why couldn't you do something with him there instead?
Where in the same breath, I think he worked perfectly as somebody who was outside the set of a group of main characters, like when Odo is struggling with how to tell Nerys that he loves her. And it's Vic Fontaine that ends up giving him all of the pointers that gets him finally to get together with Kira. And I
think, yeah.
because Odo is the sort of character that he wouldn't go to anyone else, really, because he would be worried about telling them. So, yeah, in some instances, I think he works perfect like that. Hi, thanks for choosing to listen to the TrekMate podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can tweet us at TrekMate1701 or you can email TrekMate1701@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook just by searching for TrekMate. If you would like to help support the show, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/sci-fi collective. Well, you could sign up to various tiers to help us, which include extra special bonus goodies, such as exclusive Patreon-only podcasts, stickers, t-shirts, and even com badges. So check out our Patreon at patreon.com/sci-fi collective. Obviously, we know that not everyone can help support the show financially, and we want you to know that we appreciate you just listening to the show. Once again, thanks for listening.
I've got a question for you. It's a totally random question.
Go for it.
Did Odo lose his virginity to an actual alien or human, or was it a changeling in disguise?
No,
I was looking at a picture, and it says like, oh, Odo's first love experience or something. I was like, bloody hell, I completely forgot that. And then when I was looking at the picture, I was just thinking, was that a genuine person who he had a fling with, or was it the changeling woman who was pretending to be someone else?
No, I'm trying to remember the name of the character. He lost his virginity to the woman who was like a dodgy. Was she a smuggler? I'm trying to remember if she was a smuggler.
I can't remember. I just couldn't remember if it was, you know, one of the, you know, the changeling woman getting up to her tricks, because she did that a few times.
No, it was a genuine solid that he lost his virginity to. It wasn't the changeling, because she ends up banging him in the human sense towards the end of season six, at the beginning of season six, when they've occupied the station, and when he's meant to be like helping out with the resistance, and ends up getting Rom captured because he was meant to disable security force fields while Snog was sabotaging equipment and stuff. And yeah, no, that was because there's a scene where the female founder gets up and she's like, oh, so that's how solids make love. It's only a shadow of what we experience in the Great Link. And then Odo was like, yeah, but can you do this? And like had like 50 vaginas and 50 penises appear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
God. Anyway. Shall I go on to all my different things that
I'm
going
to... Yeah, go for it.
So, yeah, as I said, because I've had a birthday, I had, like, my wife and my mum and dad, like, just give me money, you know, just say, just get what you want, which I kind of prefer that anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, and I had some money of my own. I had, like, a refund from something that I wasn't expecting. So, like, I've bought a few things here, there, which I've already got, and I've got a few things coming in the post. But, yeah, I just want to talk about some of them with you and see if you've seen them before or owned them before.
Absolutely.
On eBay, I bid on a simple DS9, like, hologram, you know, the old '80s silver hologram stickers.
Oh, very good. Oh, what is it? Is it one of the ones that's like a single picture, or is it one that was like a sheet of so many stickers?
It was just a single picture. It was just of the station. It's about the size of a coaster, so about 3 inches by 3 inches.
Was it one of the ones that was like in a cardboard mount? I had a few of them. I never had the DS9 one.
Yeah, I did see a couple of the other ones, but yeah, that one was more impressive to me because it was the station, and the other ones were like people's faces. I didn't think that with the TNT ones. But yeah, I loved it, and I think I went up to about, I tell you what, I wasn't going to pay more than about £3 for it. Like, it started at about £1. And it got to £3, and then, like, it kept going back and forth with someone else bidding. And eventually, I went up to £10 because I was like, I really like this. Like, I'll pay that. And it just kept going and going. And I think it went for about £16-17 in the end for a mm-hmm. sticker, which by the end of it, I just thought, well, I hope that makes that person happy. I really do, but I wasn't willing to pay that for that.
That can't be off far what the original retail was.
What I originally wanted to pay, or what it actually went for?
What it used to sell for in the shops.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, but well, I remember going to a couple of shops that like, just had like sci-fi memorabilia and stuff, and like having like walls of different versions of those sorts of things. And yeah, I swear they used to go for like 10 to 15 quid.
I'll have to look it up. I'm not going to look it up right now, but I will do.
Yeah.
For once on eBay, where it was a bidding thing, it wasn't a buy it now, I actually won something without anyone trying to bid against me, which I was quite happy about.
Always nice.
So I got this for £1 before postage, that is. So it was about... only about £3 altogether with the postage. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you ever owned this one. I did own other issues of this magazine, Mad Magazine. But it's
no, never read Mad Magazine.
You've never read Mad? Oh, it was excellent. I absolutely loved it as a kid. They have their own character's name. I can't remember. And on the front of every issue, it would always be that character's stupid face, but on a different person, so like whatever they're satirizing that month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got the DS9 issue, so they've got all nice. The characters like caricature, like looks a bit like a spitting image sort of thing, but then you've got Quark with the Mad Magazine character's face on it as a massive face. So usually that comic will be about 6 or 10 pages long for mm-hmm. whatever's on the front cover. So I really look forward to seeing that. And they were quite rude, but I think it was more done in a way where it would go over kids' heads. It wasn't like really dirty yeah. humor. There would be a bit of it in there, but so kids wouldn't understand, but mm-hmm. older readers would. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be coming in the post in the next few days or so, hopefully.
Very cool. Yeah, no, Mad Magazine, I didn't even realize that they sold over here, because I know mm-hmm. of Mad Magazine just from the amount of references, whether it be in like The Simpsons or any other American show.
I didn't get it from newsagents when I was a kid. I would get it from comic book shops.
So they probably did import it.
Yeah, I think it was imported. Yeah, it never cost that much back in those days. Well, and it hasn't cost me much this time. And I tell you what was really weird. It's weird when these little coincidences happen. On the same day, within a couple of hours of me winning that bid on mm-hmm. that magazine, Mark Alan Shepard, who is the actor who plays Morn,
mm-hmm.
was then put a post out about it on Facebook, just talking about how when that issue came out, he got a free copy and he was really happy to see himself in there. And I was like, that's really weird. That's just a really funny coincidence. I mean, I know I'm a DS9 fan buying stuff and following mm-hmm. him, but like, I just thought that was really random. But he just posted about that within a couple of hours. Day.
Yeah. Oh no.
But yeah, I'll tell you more about that when I get it. I'll have a read of it and mm-hmm. Maybe give you a loan one day in the distant future when we can actually be in the same room at the same time.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
I got a voucher from my wife for Forbidden Planet, the comic book shop which sells mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff these days.
Yeah,
but I have bought myself, it looks like a new graphic novel. I didn't actually look at the date that it was released or anything, but it's IDW, so I know it's a quite new one.
Yeah.
A Star Trek graphic novel called, I don't know if you will have seen it or heard of it or even read it, it's called Q-Conflict.
Q-Conflict.
I've got a picture I can... send you over a picture on WhatsApp. You'll enjoy the cover.
I'm just Googling it. Star Trek Q Conflict. No, I haven't read that one, actually. Yeah, oh, it's a crossover with
You're
a whole
probably looking
bunch
at it
of.
anyway, but I've just sent it to you. Yeah. So basically, Q has taken all the classic captains. Sorry, not all the classic captains. It's the first four captains, not Pike, but Kirk, Janeway, Picard, and Sisko. And he's playing them off against each other, making them compete against each other somehow. You can tell what the story of the entire comic's going to be from just reading the blurb. He's playing them off against each other to see who's the best, but they're all going to team together by the end of it to defeat him. But yeah, I really look forward to it.
I'm really intrigued by that comic. That looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those ones. It's not going to go up on the shelf. It's going to be read straight away by me within a day or two.
Absolutely.
I'll find time to do it. So yeah, that cost me £12. That was in the sale, and then the postage was £3, and my voucher was for 15, so that was perfect.
Result.
Yeah, so I'm looking
Excellent.
forward to that one. I'll let everyone know what that was like.
I might do a lot of my the majority of my comic book reading nowadays is digital, so I might see like see
Yeah,
how much it
what? Yeah,
is.
done that.
Yeah,
I
no, I
bet you
might.
could probably get that for quite cheap, I would imagine, digitally, but it's not something I've checked out. Even though I'm doing a lot of things that way these days with movies and games and whatnot, like I'm not quite there yet with comics. I think at this time I'd rather have the physical.
Oh no, definitely. I still have the majority of my Star Trek comics physical, but just when it tends to come to new releases, I tend to just get them digital, just because getting to the comic shop can be a bit of a to-do.
Well, it's impossible now.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I might see if I can get hold of it, and like then we could discuss it on a show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because to be honest, it looks like it's a really interesting
It's a really good
concept.
concept, isn't it? To bring them, it's a proper fan fiction type story, really, that one.
Yeah, it's one of them. What would happen?
I'll tell you what's interesting. While I was on the Forbidden Planet website and I was looking things to get, I just looked up Star Trek and Turtles. I was just like, what have they got on offer? I won't tell you about any of the turtle stuff, but one thing that did come up what was interesting was the DS9 handbook. And I'd not read about this anywhere, but this is a book which is apparently coming out in August of this year. It's not actually out yet, so they were letting you do pre-orders. I think it was about somewhere between 15 to £20. And the interesting thing about it is, from what I can tell, it is mostly made up of something by a good friend of ours of the Star Trek fact files. So Larry will have been responsible, but I wonder if they're actually giving him the money, because I'm surprised he didn't bring that up. If he's getting royalties from that, you would have thought he would have brought it up when we last spoke to him, which was very recently.
Unless on the fact files he was on like a paid per page kind of deal where like that publisher owns that piece of work now and no longer needs to give him royalties for it
Yeah,
if it's
well, we'll
being
ask him next time
curated.
we speak to him. But it has got new material in it, but from what I can tell, it's not going to be much new stuff. It's going to be mostly from those fat files, but I never got them when I was a kid, and I have had the opportunity to get them as an adult, and I think I've said on this podcast, even when we had Larry on, like I'm just at a point in my life where I don't want to be collecting too much stuff like that. So yeah, to have all that stuff in one book, yeah, it's quite appealing to me.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And,
so I'll, be,
and...
I'll probably stick that on my Christmas list, I think, to be honest. That'd be a good one if it's coming out in August.
Do you remember how much it was retailing at?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere between 15 and 20 quid.
Okay, so it's going to be a hardback
That's pre-ordered. Yeah, it'll be a hardback, yeah.
Nice, excellent. Oh, no, I'll take a look. I probably won't pick it up because I do have the fax files and stuff. So, but I no, it's one I definitely like to thumb through, especially after this rewatch.
I'll tell you what I'm going to bring up now with you. Another thing which I actually have bidded on, but I'm outbid at this point, but it's still going for a few more days. And I know you will have owned this. I've never owned it. But the Deep Space Nine technical manual.
No, I never had the DS9 technical manual.
Oh, okay.
No, because I have. Yeah.
You
have
the TNG. I've got the TNG one, but the DS9 one looks a lot more detailed, a lot more color going on as well in there than the TNG one. But I got up to £10 and someone's outbid me at about 12 at the moment. But generally, the original sale price was £12.99. I can actually zoom in and see that on the back from the mid-90s, I guess that was.
Yeah.
Or late 90s. But generally on eBay and online, it's going for 45 quid. 45
wow.
quid to 105 quid. Some people are selling it for.
Wow.
45 is the cheapest buy it now price I can find. And that's several different copies going for that same price.
And I'll tell you what that is all down to. Fuck. Wait, I'm looking at it now. I have a feeling I might have had it. Or I do
own it. I can't imagine you not owning it. I can't imagine you not owning it.
I'm looking at the cover art now. And that is so familiar. Whether it's one that I wanted and just never got. But
I've seen a few pages of the inside and it looks very cool. It's got what I've always wanted to see, what the inside of each floor of the DS9 station is actually supposed to hold, what it's actually supposed to look like.
Oh, one second. I'm just going to try and zoom in. This also made by... Was this also done by... The Okudas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
They're
involved.
Herman Zimmerman, Rick Sternbeck, Doug Drexler, with a special introduction from Iris Stephen Bear.
I'm sure the Okudas are involved as well.
Mm-hmm. Because what I love with the TNG technical manual was I just loved that it was all written in universe, not like on screen you'll see this, you'll see that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is how it works. This is how you operate it. Like, this is why you can't do this and do that. And I do love, the layouts for that they're showing for like the infirmary and stuff in those shots. Beautiful. Mm. It is a beautiful book.
But
I'm
thinking I might go as high as 30 or something. See if I can beat the other people on there.
No,
I doubt I will, but I'm going to give it a go. It's even a bit of a scruffy copy, the one that's going for that price. But it's got about 2.5 more days on it, and I'm gonna try.
And I'll tell you why the price is that high, is because. Back then,
there's not enough copies, I guess.
Yeah, DS9 didn't sell as well as TNG, so not as many were made and not as many went off the shelves. So it's harder to get because I wonder how much the TNG Star
Trek. Oh, that's really nearly that.
Yeah,
much.
I bet it'll be like a fiver.
Yeah, it will be. Maybe even less. I got mine for less than that. I got mine for a charity shop for about 50p or something, I think.
Okay. Well, on this auction, you can get the Star Trek Technical Manual, the Star Trek Next Generation Companion, which is that the one that was written by? Yeah, by Larry Namicek, and Star Trek First Contact's book, all for £5.
Yeah.
And
that's a big
the
difference.
The TNG technical manual on its own, selling for £3. I tell you what, I would be tempted to get a mint copy of that, because, but say, I love the fact that my copy is so tattered because I've read it so many times. It's like, that is mine. But saying because I've put in TNG technical manual, it's also brought up the I don't know if you ever saw it on PC, the Star Trek Next Generation interactive technical manual. It was
I've got it.
Oh, you've got it.
Yeah, I've got that too.
Excellent. Love
it. Fun.
And back in the day, that's like getting your fucking Windows 95 PC to boot that up. Oh, it was fucking revolutionary.
It's very cool.
Absolutely. I love looking through all the old stuff like this, because it really does bring back the feels.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's what you're gunning for at the moment?
Yeah, I think I might go as high as 30, but I'm sure I'm going to get outbid. Someone, just like they always do for those sort of things, where it's something that's popular, it'll either go for a couple of quid less than what it's going for everywhere else, or worse, it'll go for a couple of quid more. That always seems to happen when I'm bidding on something like that. Like, these clangers like don't realise they could just get it, could have got it, buy it now anyway.
Whenever I fucking sell things, it always goes for a couple of quid less.
Yeah, definitely.
When you want it, it's always a couple of quid more.
I was going to talk about one thing, but I don't know. I'm almost embarrassed. Maybe I'll talk about that another time.
No,
not that sort of embarrassing. No, I'll tell you at the end, and then maybe I'll bring it up next week.
Okay.
One thing I have got, I've already got, I ordered it like over a week ago. I don't know if you will have got this. I'm guessing you probably didn't, like me. Mm-hmm. So it will have only been a couple of years ago. Starburst magazine, 25th anniversary of DS9. It's a really nice front cover of the magazine where it's bald Sisko with DS9 underneath him. No words on the front. So it's the special edition cover, I guess.
25th
and
anniversary.
I bought it. Yeah, that will have been
2018.
At the premiere.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So I think I remember the magazine. I never bought it because I haven't bought magazines actively for a long time. But I think I remember thumbing through it.
I just buy them every now and then. You know, if someone's in the hospital or something, or you're going on a long journey or something like that, they're usually the times I'll get them. But and what's going on right now, just buying little things like that to keep me sane. And obviously, I knew it was my birthday coming up. But what I'd say is, honestly, the front cover is really nice. I'll show it to you next time. Or you can just look on my Facebook feed. You'll see it on there somewhere. It'll be in the last couple of weeks or so.
That'll take me 2 seconds to check, because...
In fact, I might even have a picture of it still on my phone, but I could WhatsApp you. But the front cover looks great, is what I'm trying to spit out. But
I've got it. That is beautiful.
It is a really nice cover, isn't it?
Yeah,
but the inside, the actual content, I was a little bit disappointed. It was only like 6 or 7 pages, and it was mostly pictures. And I just thought, come on, guys, you know, 25th anniversary. Like, there's so much to talk about with DS9. You could have had not just page after page, but article after article. You know, like talking about different aspects of it. 25 years, 7 seasons, like 6 or 7 pages. I just thought, that's a bit crap. Yeah. So that was a little disappointing, but it's okay. It's not a big deal.
No.
I've never actually bought Starburst magazine, and I guess I have picked it up in the past and just looked at it in the shop and just never really been bothered. It doesn't seem all that big on its articles, to be fair. It's more sort of factual based, like this is this what's coming out, this is the preview, this is the review. Mm-hmm. But as far as article goes, they don't seem to be too big on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought, what a waste. You know, you're using that to sell your magazine. You're putting it on the cover, doing special mm-hmm. editions. Like, why wouldn't you do more stuff on the inside? But there you go.
Did that? How much does secondhand magazines that are a couple of years old go for? Not a lot, or
with postage, that ended up costing me £7, which, because I was expecting there to be a lot in the inside,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was worth it to me. But once I actually got it, I thought, like, oh, kind of wish I'd paid a bit less now, but sod it.
No, it is what it is.
It's probably more than likely going to be going up in the attic in the next couple of weeks, that magazine. Because, you know, other than that article, there's not much in there that I'm not really bothered about reading about.
Mm-hmm.
DVDs and movies and stuff coming out 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's why I find it strange that magazines still manage to operate at the moment, because by the time that they go to publisher, if that's the sort of thing that they're talking about, they're outdated by the time that they go to publish. Mm. Because, like, if you want to know what's coming out, you just go on the internet and you know.
Yeah, like you, I'm surprised that any magazines survive in this day and age. Like with like computer games, for example, like everything I want is online, everything for free. You don't have to pay a penny to have a preview, to have a review, to watch the gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, you can even play the games a lot of the time, you know, play demos and stuff, and so you don't have to rely on the discs like we used to do back in the day.
Yeah. I know, that's
so
why,
yeah,
that's
surprises
always
me that anything works.
I know, that's it always baffles me, especially with fucking, I'm not trying to be, you know, crass or anything, but it surprised me that fucking adult magazines are still a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, who's fucking buying Top Shelf when you can just fucking, like, open up an incognito fucking tab on your phone and suddenly you've got All Singing, All Dancing?
Yeah.
Who
I
are
know
these people, Jude?
I don't know. I'll try and find out for you.
that is your assignment. It's got to be the pensioners, hasn't it? It's got to be.
That would make sense, yeah.
Give it another 15 years once so many have died out, then it probably would be totally gone at that point.
It frankly, it does deserve to be, because, you know, we don't need to be cutting down trees these days to make bloody magazines. Like, who needs them, really?
Yeah.
It should be a novelty sort of thing. You know, maybe like books. You can just about get away with it with books, saying, like, you know, but even then you should only be using like recycled stuff. Like, hopefully we'll get there one day.
And also then it's a question of, like, if a book is available digitally and in print, but the thing is as well, if it's made in print, but only made when it's ordered, in the sense of, like, then it's, I know it's a less efficient way of doing it, but then you don't get the excess stock of hundreds of books that didn't sell. But still, we can't solve these problems. We can barely fucking do a podcast, so.
Right, so I'll definitely make this. This is the last thing I've got on my list, but it's a good time to wrap up anyway, because we're on like 1:45 in the morning.
And now I'm starting to go down the rabbit hole of what is for sale on eBay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the last thing that I have actually bought, which I'm looking forward to getting in the post. Mm-hmm. Barely paid anything for them. I think it was less than a fiver. I have paid for some DS9 cards, official cards, you know, like trading cards.
Hmm.
I think it's 50 of them, but it is all. They're just called Premiere, so it's all about Season 1, basically. It's only based on Season 1, so I don't know if they came out at the same time as Season. No, they didn't come out at the same time as Season 1, because I know that a couple of cards. Yeah, it's mainly about Season 1, but they've got Bald Cisco on there, so.
Yeah.
You know that they obviously came out later down the line, but yeah, I really look forward to getting them.
I
already
what,
have the yeah.
With cards, it's one of the things of I never got into collecting them in the sense of buying the packets to go and get them, just because it works out such an expensive way of guessing.
Oh no, I ain't doing that. I've just like as an adult buy the
yeah.
full set, let someone else have done that for me, and the price has gone down now.
And the thing is I know that I'm missing that thrill of opening the pack, and also with the Star Trek ones,
oh,
you
know.
Have like
that is cool, but I ain't
you would,
doing it.
You would have like ultra rare ones, like that are limited to like, oh, there's only one in every fucking 15 packets, or there's like they had sometimes mm-hmm. they had some of the trading cards, they had the signature collection, so you'd find ones that were actually signed by the actors. And
yeah.
sometimes you get ones that had like little square pieces of material of this was Picard's uniform and everything.
Yeah.
So if you want to get the whole collections of them, you spend a fucking fortune. But no, you can get the like full base sets, because I've bought a couple of the base sets for not really a lot. And I do get that, because it's one of them things that I still really like to look at. I haven't got many of them. I've only got like a couple of the card sets, but yeah, I really do like looking at the
Same.
Cards.
I've got some TNG ones. I do have some DS9 ones, which I had a look through the other day. They're called profiles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like between 9 or 12 cards
mm-hmm.
dedicated to each of the main characters, and just it's got very sort of specific points of their history in the program in the card, so
mm-hmm.
it's not just like a literal profile pick of, you know, a press type pick. It is picks from the program, and they're really fun, you know, like they've got all the stuff written on the back. I really enjoy that sort of stuff, you know, if you've got the time to sit down. It's to me it can be, and I'll get the these days I'll buy the nicest of the nice, like card sleeves, where you can put 9 cards
of
in
course.
It and then put it in an A4 binder. Yeah, it's just
fucking
really nice. It's just as, for me, it's just as good as reading a book. If
Mate,
you've got
what
the time.
Kind of monster well, wouldn't sleeve them? Only some like soulless minion of orthodoxy would like not sleeve their cards. I was all,
yeah.
with my comics. I was always a bag and border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can do it, why not look after them?
Exactly. Oh, and is that the last thing that you've ordered?
That was the last thing on my list, which I'm going to talk about tonight. I did have a couple of ideas of things to talk about to do with DS9 in general, but I'm not going to bother because of the time we're on. I'm happy to carry on talking for a little bit, but I'm not going to start bringing up some big subject point.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Well, that's it. We're getting on to nearly 2 in the morning, and we're recording tomorrow night with the Engage boys.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
we
well.
Don't know what we're doing, and I'm guessing that's going to be coming out on their thing, so we don't know when that'll be, but
when it comes out, I'll let them put it out first, and then we'll whack it on our feed at some point, just as an excuse that we get a week off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's Yes, I don't know what to expect tomorrow, but I'm sure it'll be good fun to get together with them and just catch up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, to be honest, you've made me really fancy going just having a look on eBay. I try not to buy too much shit because I don't actually buy stuff anymore, but there are sometimes little bits that you
I've
find
been
you're
trying
like,
to get
oh.
rid of stuff. Mostly for the last few months, and doing a very good job of it actually. But just with all this going on,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, using my birthday as an excuse, I just thought, oh, feeling sorry
yeah.
for myself, cheer myself up with this and this and this and this.
Oh yeah, and the thing is as well, I can in my head I would justify it in the sense of. I am now starting to work on clearing the space in the garden that the studio is going to go on.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I've got some videos. You've sent me some videos I've not watched yet of that. I will do, but I won't do it tonight.
Yeah. No, so
tonight.
I've, Yeah, no, I'm starting to clear that space to prepare for building, because it's not going to be a quick process, just because building the actual building is going to cost us a few hundred in general, because I'm not just putting up a shed. I'm getting the wood, I'm building it, and like putting it together and trying to insulate it so it's protected from the weather, and so that like in the winter it's not too cold, in the summer it's not too hot, so then like my stuff is actually protected in there. And also then trying to soundproof it as well so that you can't hear cars driving up and down the road, or people in their gardens can't hear me just like talking shit. So yeah, so it's going to be a long process, but I'm looking forward to getting on with that. So, but I have been tempted to get a couple more things to hang on like the studio walls and stuff, because it's like I've just got the I received a while back the like XO1 license plate, and I was
Oh, cool.
I was really happy with that. And I was like, oh, and then I saw, because I was flicking through Wish, and I saw like people were like, someone was selling
Oh,
that.
I do like looking at that, but I always just think, no, I'm never clicking on that buy button.
Yeah,
You're there.
I look at it, but I've still not bought off of there. But like
Don't, don't.
sometimes the reviews of people are like, yeah, no, it's fine. And I'm just like, oh.
I'm not sure if I would believe those reviews.
Yeah, no, I'm tempted. I'm still tempted to do a tester, because like I
You
was.
do realize there's li it's literally a meme of like, this is what I ordered, this is what I got with Wish.
That,
That
oh yeah.
is the meme of Wish, what people do, and it's true. I've watched videos of that where they've ordered multiple things and then they show what they've actually got, and it's just ridiculous.
But to be honest, I think that would also be just as funny as.
Yeah, if we had a lot of disposable income, the pair of us, I think I've even said that on the pod before. Like, I would love to do that, you and me, just order 100 quid's worth of stuff. I think I've even said that'd be a good Kickstarter type thing. You know, just ask people like, help us raise this money. We'll order a bunch of stuff, and then we'll do a video online, and we'll talk about it and have a laugh
Exactly.
of it. But I'm not doing that with my money. Not
Oh
unless
dear.
I win the lottery or something, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I'm tempted to get like get the XO1A license plate, and also get like the Back
I
to the
thought you just
Future
said you
license.
got it.
No, I've got one XO1, but get the XO1A license plate
Oh, bloody hell.
as well.
Why?
Just because. And then also, even though I raffled my DeLorean one off, like the original Sci-Fi Palooza, I'm tempted to get that again to go on the wall.
I'd like to get that at some point as well. Yeah, I wanted that. I wanted to win that when you had that at the last Sci-Fi Palooza or whenever it was.
Yeah, it not this one just gone, it was the one before. Yeah. And yeah, I'm tempted to get that again to go on the wall, and like it just I so now I'm when I think of things that I want to get that are geeky related, in my head is like, will it display well? Will it look cool?
Oh,
So
and they would. They definitely would. Yeah, I'll join you in that one day if I ever have like a home where I've got an arguable sort of man cave in it. I think I'm a long way away
or
from
a
that at the
man
moment.
corner. That's it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, even that is unlikely at the moment. Well, I do have my pictures on the wall, I suppose. I've got my Star Trek celebrity pictures up on the wall. I do have some stuff,
Oh,
sort of.
you've been made quite a few allowances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I don't have any of my geeky stuff out for the public to see. It has to be hidden in shame.
Yeah. No, think of it as, yeah, glorious little man cave hall thing. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Once the studio is built, it'll be fucking glorious. I'm also tempted, once the studio is built, is to get, I would like to get an arcade machine in there as well.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'd love that. I've thought about that ever since I was a kid. That would definitely be something I'd be getting if I won the lottery, is multiple arcades.
Yeah.
Oh, even though I know you could have them all running on the same one, I think there's different ones, like Turtles. I'd want that, the proper Turtles arcade cabinet, mm-hmm. with the four different joysticks where you have to stand at an angle,
yeah.
if you want to be a certain character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. To be honest, I'm also tempted to, as well as buying like actual released arcades, is do one of the build your own arcades with a Raspberry Pi sort of system in there, because you can get the flat packed actual arcade setup. Fairly reasonably.
Yeah, but most of them that I've seen are not as big as I would want. They're sort of a little bit smaller, and then people end up having
not that sort of one. So I mean, literally, where you can build your
full
own
size.
Full size.
Just
it's literally on eBay. You can get what you get is literally the wood, and then you build it, put everything on, and then you can buy the vinyls to go on the sides and the finish and everything. I'd be tempted to do that just to have a full-size arcade machine somewhere.
That'd be very cool.
I'm probably a way off from having to think about that. But with my birthday money, though, I've not actually asked for money from Leanne. I pretty much turned around and said to her, because after losing weight last year, I've not got many t-shirts. I end up and I haven't had proper full-on geeky t-shirts for so long, and at the moment, I the t-shirts I have, the only geeky ones I've got are...
You just reminded me of something. Carry on.
What's that? It's my Mario t-shirt, what have I got? I can't even remember. I've got a couple. So I was just I want geeky t-shirts. So I think I'm going to get kitted out with a lot of wear stuff this year, so that's what I'm hoping for. Any spare money from other people, I might consider buying something to display.
Right, you've totally reminded me of something that I didn't write down, mm-hmm. and the whole world who's listening right now probably knows what I'm going to say, because this is a travesty, and you should know already.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you do know this or not. You know Redbubble?
I do know Redbubble. Yeah.
Well, you know, our designs were up there for everyone to buy. You could buy Trekmate stickers, Trekmate pencil case, Trekmate t-shirts, Trekmate hoodie, whatever. Mm. Well, now you can't. They still recognize Trekmate as being an artist, but they don't recognize Trekmate as having anything to sell anymore.
Oh.
Which... I'll tell you how I found that out, because I'm the same as you. I was looking to buy myself a few different new things lately, and I have done.
Mm.
But I was going to buy a Trekmate hoodie, and I couldn't buy one.
Oh.
So, I say,
what happened there,
I don't know. Just go. Don't do it now, but do it tomorrow. Go on there. It'll show that we exist as an artist. So it knows that we're someone who's put on a design up at some point, but it doesn't have our designs.
Oh, I wonder if that's something that we can easily fix. I'll look
know.
Into it.
I wondered, did it time out or something, or
maybe it
Is it just because so many millions of people have been buying them? They're out of stock.
They sold out. Yeah, yeah, that's what.
Or is it? I know it sounds strange, but is it because you know, the strange, weird possibility that no one's bought it in a month or over a year or whatever.
It can't
be that. Years.
No,
but,
it can't be that.
But they decided to not, you know, have it up there because of. But I mean, surely they'd have as many designs as many. The whole idea of Redbubble is that you can design anything and you put it up there and someone somewhere will only put it on a t-shirt or a sticker or whatever mm-hmm. if you pay for it. So why wouldn't they have as many designs as possible? It's not like anyone else is putting up anything with that name.
It doesn't cost them anything extra to just keep it up there.
But I'd understand if it was like Transformers or Ninja Turtles where it's like, okay, we only want to have so many designs, so if this one's not selling, we'll take it down. But Trekmate, no one else is putting anything up there called Trekmate, so I couldn't understand why it wasn't there. But yeah, so we missed out on a sale from myself.
Oh, that is a shame. That is a shame.
It's something that I would look to get in the future.
Yeah.
If we can get back up on there.
I'm sure it would be fairly easy to sort. Well, I would like to think it would be fairly easy to sort out. Yeah. No, I'll take a look into it. Into it because, yeah, no, I think having a Trekmate t-shirt would definitely go down well.
So there you go. All those thousands of people out there with all your emails going unanswered. Where the hell is that merch got to?
We've been trying to buy it. It's one of them things. Yep. I just didn't want to open the email inbox because I knew it was there. I didn't want to know how to address the situation. How can you disappoint millions of people?
Oh. Well, we'll get it sorted for you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's on its way. At some point.
Yeah.
Oh dear. So, yeah. No. Thanks for joining us on this rambling episode, guys.
It did have more of a subject than some of our more recent episodes. At least it was, you know, 80-90% Trek based.
To be honest, it was
I enjoy talking about stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all Trek based. So, no, actually, no, fuck you if you're complaining. Yeah. We've done our best.
Yeah. Oh, I enjoyed it, as always.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure and always fun catching up with you, mate, even though it's only been a week.
Has it?
When did we last talk?
It's been longer than a week because we were supposed to do a week ago and then you weren't able in the end because that was when we were going to do with JD.
I think it's probably actually been about... I think it's
like 2.5
weeks. No, it must be 2 weeks since we spoke to Larry. But saying that...
Actually, yeah, you're right. Because when I did my chat with JD, I'd done Larry the night before. So, yeah, that was the last time we spoke with Larry.
So it must be about a week and a half ago.
Say the last time we spoke. It was more like you speaking to Larry and me going, yeah, that's right. I agree.
Go to bed, Wayne.
Yeah. Oh, I really did.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of bed, I can hear mine falling.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, we better crack on. So thank you once again for joining us, guys. Remember to drop us an email at trekmate1701@gmail.com or Facebook or Twitter. We love hearing from you and really do appreciate you getting in contact.
Definitely.
So that has been Trekmate for this week. I've been Wayne.
I've been Jude. And like Wayne said, that was indeed Trekmate. You said it before.
I screwed up the fucking...
to the end. You put me off.
When I was a kid, I watched this show. It was full of people that would boldly go. But not many people cared for science fiction. Their five-year mission they went before. Impulse, standstill, and warp factor 4. But I really, really wanted their uniform. Starfleet uniforms. Starfleet uniforms. Starfleet uniforms. Uniforms. But if you were an extra, that meant you were dead. And the girls, they all wore miniskirts in rare form. If you were Kirk and fighting the Gorn, every week your shirt would be torn. But week after week, we'd still come back for the uniforms. Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms. Well, in TNG, they kept pulling them down, and in later years, they enlarged their gowns. Deanna was asked by Captain Jellicoe to go norm. Remember Picard and Darmok, they wrote, introduced his cool new away team coat, and somehow Worf's hair would grow with his uniform. Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms. On Deep Space Nine, not like the others, they fooled us all and flip-flopped the colors, and aliens wore cool suits like our friend Morn. Sisko may have shaved his head, but Odo shifted his clothes instead, and Kira wore a tight red uniform. Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms. That leaves us with just two to go, Voyager and Archer show, Seven of Nine and T'Pol in those cat suits they wore, running around in their underwear cute, always in their matching blue jumpsuits. Every show had a slightly different uniform. Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms. Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, Starfleet uniforms, uniforms.
You've been listening to the Trekmate Podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All right. Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.